Test.
Good evening. I want to welcome you to this, what we call an adjourned Paradise Town Council meeting, 6:30 here on February 28th. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, Councilmember Bolin. Here. Vice Mayor Jones. Here. Councilmember Schuster. Here. Councilmember Zuccalillo. Here. Mayor Lauder.
Here. Okay. Tonight, the draft sewer report will be presented by Bennett Engineering. There will be no decisions made tonight by the town council. There will be a 30-day review and comment period with several opportunities for the public to address the town council about the project. The draft sewer report may be viewed at town hall in the clerk's department, the Paradise Public Library, and online at the town's website, townofparadise.com. Comments or questions must be submitted by March 31st, 2017, and must be in writing. Comments or questions can be dropped off in person or submitted by U.S. Mail to the Town of Paradise at 5555 Skyway in Paradise. And you may also submit comments through email at info@paradisesewer.com. So, I'm going to first hand it off to, Councilman Bolin needs to make a statement.
Mayor, I'm going to have to recuse myself. The FPPC, the Fair Political Practice Commission, I believe it is, has determined that it'd be against good practices for me to be voting on this or to be in any position of making a decision. Conflict of interest has been determined with properties I own, so I'll be recusing myself.
Also under the advice of council and of the FPPC, I have also been determined to have a conflict of interest as I have a financial interest in property that's within the proposed district. So I will also be recusing myself from discussion and voting on this matter.
I'm Dwight Moore, town attorney, and I'd just like to add to that that the conflict of interest relates to the fact that the council members own multiple properties within the proposed sewer district, and based on that, the FPPC ruled that they cannot take part in any of the actions relating to reviewing the project or selecting it. In addition, the FPPC looked into the other council members who own property within this proposed sewer district. Based upon an examination of the FPPC, those council members do not have a conflict of interest in that their interests are the same as the general public that owns property within the proposed sewer district. Very good. Thank
you. So at this time, I would like to call up the consultants, Bennett Engineering. They will introduce themselves. Again, this will be the first time that the consultants present their findings and their draft report to the town council and to the community. They will have a PowerPoint presentation that will go over all of the information or a lot of the information in the draft report. I am told that there are copies of the draft report available in the lobby, and also you can get the draft report online on our website. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. We are from Bennett Engineering, and my name is Trent Campos, the project manager. I want to introduce our team. First, on my left here is Stacy Bennett, one of our project engineers. Oren Bennett, our company principal, senior advisor, and Dave Harden, another staff engineer from our team. We also have a great team of sub-consultants, which have contributed to our report and our investigation. We also have Patty Ransdell, who runs the public outreaches, is here in the front desk. You've probably met her a few times. And I'm not used to being on the stage in the lights, so I can barely see the audience, so I'll do my best. I'm not used to being up on a stage like this. So we're going to present the draft report this evening, and like was informed earlier, this is the first time that your council has seen the draft report, and we're presenting both to the council and to the residents of this town. We've been working hard to get to this point for quite some time, as you know. We had hoped to get the draft out, I think, before the holidays, and at that time, we realized that there needed to be more information than just what we normally would include in what we as engineers call an engineering technical memo. This project is much more than just a pipeline, than just one piece of a infrastructure. It is a whole system, and it affects the town and many residents and businesses, and there needed to be quite a bit more in this report. So that's what we've been working on. I think we're there. I think we're ready for the public comment and council comment and direction. So that's what we're here for today. So tonight, the main purpose is to run through the report, introduce you to the report, give you time to go and review the report and make comments. We hope that your questions are answered in the report. That's our intent. If you find something that's not clear, please provide us those comments, those questions, and we'll do the best we can to address them and make sure that it's addressed in the final report. Okay? So let's get rolling here. And I'm going to go pretty quick pace, hopefully won't be here too long, and then also provide some time for some questions and answers at the end. Okay, we're going to go through, again, requesting public comment, reviewing again the feasibility, the purpose of the feasibility study, the scope and purpose, the draft report, again, the findings and recommendations, and then also review our schedule, where we are and what's up ahead. This is the draft report. This is our, from a technical team, your consultants, our recommendation, our findings to this point. It's a draft. We need your input, your comments, your council's direction, and then we can make adjustments and work toward a final. Can everybody hear me okay? I'm not used to, so I'll try and hold the mic close. Please, thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Again, it's a draft. And a lot of times when we get it to this point as a consult team, it's hard to say we're ready to make a recommendation or should we make a recommendation. And you know, I've been through this quite a bit in my years, over 30 years, and big projects like this, and I think it's kind of chicken to not make a recommendation. You hired us to be your consultants, your team, and to investigate, and I think it's best to have a recommendation so that now, as a community, we can make specific comments and make a decision on where we're going, right? It's a little clearer. So that's what we've done, and we're going to present our recommendation to this point. At the end, your council, you, the community, through your city council, town council, will make the final decision on a preferred and a selection of the option that we want to move forward with. Public review and comment. One of the things that I want to make sure that we are on the same page with is that this report, when done, we hope will be much more than, again, a technical memo. It's a document that provides the agreement, consensus of a community on the need and moving forward with a project, if that's the decision of your council. So it's a document that will be used as a basis for a lot of decisions moving forward, if that's what the choice or the decision is. And that's why the public outreach is so important from the beginning. So public review comments now, in writing, please. It's really the best way for us to address them specifically. And we also, for that, we've decided to do a drop-in workshop, which is scheduled for March 22nd, and that'll be at the town hall, correct? At the town hall, as we've had another workshop earlier on the project when we started off with, so that'll be on the 22nd. Please write that down. I think we're going from, 4 to 7 p.m. on the 22nd. So at that point, we're still under the 30-day review, and we'll have our technical team there, myself and others, to get into a little bit more specific discussion, especially with individuals that have specific questions on their property, the service area, any other information we'll have. We'll be there for the 3-4 hours, whatever we need to address questions, and hopefully that helps you formulate your comments and questions on the report. Feasibility and the purpose of this, the feasibility study. It's to develop the options that best address the need of the community and to make a selection at this point, again, a draft, a recommendation is what we're making for the best fit solution. Evaluate the complete project. And what we mean by that is that this is not, again, just a piece of an infrastructure. It's the whole system. It's the whole sewer system. Collection, conveyance, treatment, and disposal. All those things make a community sewer system. It's much different than many other communities that are dealing with a portion of their sewer system, a piece, an upgrade, trying to upgrade to meet certain regulations. You're starting from ground zero on a whole system. So that has to be a complete project. Everything has to be considered in any of the options through from the beginning to end. The feasibility study incorporates past studies. There's been an awful lot of studies, a lot of technical studies in the past. We've reviewed them all. We've incorporated the information that was discovered. We didn't want to spend a lot of time and money repeating those things. We incorporated and we made updates to those studies, to those findings. And then we incorporated, studied some new approaches. And at the end, we need to develop a viable funding, financing plan for this project. That's what we'll get to, and that's really the key, which we've known from the start. So it includes engaging agency stakeholders, all agencies, technical resources, property owners, and input. And again, to reach concurrence on the best fit solution. That's what the feasibility study is for, and that's what we're focused on. After the feasibility study, then you go into your technical studies, and that's when you really start heading in one direction and start spending some money to do environmental documents and everything else, which can get very costly. So it's real important that we do a complete job at this stage with the feasibility study so we get those scope of the project, the work, and the direction very clear so we can make efficient use of any available funding as we move forward, grants or local funding. Okay, so I'm gonna take you through the report pretty quickly, but you know, hopefully it helps you find the information you're looking for, have a little better understanding of how it's laid out in the report, a lot of sections, a lot of reading. It's hard to sit down at one time and read the whole thing, understand that, but please, hopefully this tonight helps you find the information and answer some questions that you may have. So we have the executive summary, chapter 1, background and problem statement, chapter 2, the new no project alternative. And we also included a socioeconomic study, which we'll get into a little bit. Chapter 3, public involvement and outreach. 4, service area. Chapter 5, the wastewater generation and collection. Chapter 6, the alternative analysis and elimination. The alternative summary in chapter 7. Chapter 8 is the scoring criteria. Chapter 9, the alternative analysis. 10, the overall scoring outcome. And 11, we start getting into the project funding options, the rate evaluation. Chapter 12 is our consultant recommendation at this stage of a draft report. And chapter 13 is the future project implementation next steps if your council and you decide to move forward with the project and provide some direction. We just wanted to lay it out. I've gotten a lot of questions on that in our previous meetings of, you know, what are the steps, what's next, how does this get done? So we're trying to lay that out with our Chapter 13 project implementation steps. Okay, so the project background and statement. it's really important that we have a strong, complete understanding of what our problem and need is in the community. If we move forward with the project, it's the first question that all regulatory agencies and funding sources and agencies will want to know. We have really two things that are going on in the community. This community has done a great job up till now maintaining and continuing with their individual septic tanks, septic systems. It's becoming more and more difficult, and what this map does is illustrate some of the problems that we've encountered and will continue to face in the future as individual septic systems reach their life cycle and start needing to be replaced or upgraded. And the problem is that as those come to that time where having to be upgraded or replaced, there are now new regulations, new requirements. So it becomes more expensive and a lot of times not feasible because of the property location, the size of parcel, the things that are required. So those two things are coming together and is really what the intent of this project is to solve and to look ahead. When you look at the problems you're having now in your core business area, you quickly realize that the direction we're going and the town is going is not sustainable to keep a vibrant economy going in your business district in your core commercial area. It becomes very difficult for those small businesses to continue operating. We have a lot of information on case studies and information that has been studied on what happens to communities when the lack of investment on core infrastructure is lacking. Information is in there. Property values, sales. So please take a look at that. If you think we've missed something, we don't understand something there, please ask us questions. It's real important that we have this information as our backup and justification for a project moving forward. So it affects your economy, affects your growth. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. You as a community and your council make the policies for growth in your town. But when you get to a situation like this for your core commercial district, and you'll see the flat line that shows the Paradise growth, it's representative also of your business, core business district, and when it's flatlined, you have to then think about what's happening there also with expenses. Recently, a good example would be our energy bill, our PG&E bills, what's happening to those. Those costs and expenses continue to go up. They don't stay flat. So any small business operating is going to keep increasing. Their costs keep increasing. You have to be able to improve your business and upgrade your business and improve your revenue in order to keep it viable. That's what I'm talking about, having a core business district that's sustainable in your community. So we also identify economic benefits. So the no project alternative, which is in this report, is what we're talking about. That's the problem. There's going to be a decision at the end. There's either a project that you select and move forward with and try to attain the funding, or the no project. And so the no project is where you continue with the problems that you have now. If you do select the project, there are certain benefits that many studies out there point out, the benefits of investment, of infrastructure investment. And that's what we try and do here in this part. Again, clean water, avoiding bacteria and problems with pathogens in the creeks, safe water, safe drinking water in the areas, in your leach fields that then contribute to groundwater contamination. Public investment, your community, your business outlook, home values. Over time, study after study has shown infrastructure investment, especially in things like a water system or sewer system, you will eventually realize in your property values, and we hope that's a positive effect. Especially in the core business area. Also, there's some regional benefits. Large investments in systems like this generate additional jobs, not only in the service side, but in the private side. So we have that identified, and this is based on industry studies that have been done, and we reference in our project, so please take a look at that in our report. increase property values again. The studies have shown an increase in property values that range from 5 to 13% over time when a community invests in an infrastructure like a sewer or water project. Public involvement, again, we have our website, we have public workshops, we have our technical coordination. We've gone out to a lot of folks in your community, folks that I consider experts, not only in their experience, but in the work they've done in the community and others, and we really appreciate that. We've gotten a lot of good input, good suggestions, recommendations in our study as we bring things together. We have a stakeholders group. We also have our regular council meeting updates. So please take advantage of the process we have, the systems we have for a website. We also have a Facebook to access, so a lot of good information. And we need your input. We need your comments. Okay, here's our website. Here's a public workshop we've had. We're going to have another one on the 22nd. Our technical engagement, many agencies, City of Chico, Butte County, PID. Our stakeholder groups have been holding regular meetings, a lot of good input on our scoring criteria, our evaluating of all alternatives. It's really useful. So please continue to attend those that are members of our stakeholders group. So again, a complete project, collection, treatment, and disposal. Proposed service area. So we have a chapter in there where we describe our proposed service area. We have a map on our website that you can go on to, link on, and zoom in to parcels so you know exactly which parcels are within the service area. It's real important that the service area is understood so that there's no question as to who's in or who's out of the service area. This is our proposed service area for this stage of our project. We'll continue to get input. We'll continue to get comments on it. And eventually the team and the council will make the final decisions when the time comes. But this is a service area that we're basing our study, our recommendations on at this point. So just to back up. So the service area is focused on the high density commercial business areas. There are residents within the district boundaries. But it's focused on the high-density commercial business areas in town. Wastewater collection and generation. So here's the technical side. And this is an analysis you do to size your system, both from collection, from transport, treatment, and disposal. We have to come to a technical decision agreement on the sizing of the plant. And that's where this information is, starting from what are your average flows for family residents, multifamily, and then the non-resident. Okay, so please, if you see anything in there, any of the technical folks in their audience, that you see something that is questionable or you think needs to be looked at, please let us know. Just to go back a little bit, so there's a lot of different sources of data that are used, okay, and previous studies. And different communities and how you analyze and reach to an agreement, technical agreement on your flows and how you size your plant. So there's a lot of things that go into establishing what's right for Paradise and is a good measure. We also included in there, after we went through first iteration, data from PID, your Paradise Irrigation District, which is just one source of data on water going to homes and then how that equates to wastewater. It's a very good data set, but it's just one. There's an awful lot of other resources and data that we use to come to that sizing of the plant. Okay, so we got our average dry weather flow at 0.98, so really about 1 million gallons a day, right? And then you got the peak wet weather flow at about 2.0, it says 1.87. So that's the difference between the dry weather flow, summertime, just mostly sewer, and then the wet weather flow when you have your storms and infiltration and other things that contribute to your flow in your sewer system. So those are the factors that you use to size your system as you go into design. In the collection system, there's two two systems that you would normally analyze. One is your gravity flow system. And in this community, a gravity flow system works if you're in the right location. But what happens is you end up with a lot of pump stations to get your water back up to what you need, so you get a whole system that flows and use of gravity. So it's when I see gravity, it's not just gravity system, it's gravity plus pump stations. And that leads to a high cost in a community like this. So we analyzed that, we looked at different ways, and then we also analyzed what we call a low pressure system. It's a low pressure pumped system. And that takes a system where you have use of individual septic tanks with individual pumps. And then you also, depending on the situation, if your home and a residence is at a higher elevation, you can use gravity to get to the main line. So it's a combination. And that system resulted in a lower cost, a better fit for this community. That's our analysis at this point. There's some cost difference, obviously, if you still have to maintain septic tanks on individual properties and then pumps from there. But overall, for a town like Paradise and its complexities with terrain, it seems to be the best solution at this point. The gravity system, which is the first one that I was talking about, requires you to have some very deep mains in order to maintain that gravity flow and deeper collection, the deeper main lines, and then on top of that, your collection system. So normally that ends up being, you know, a collection system on top, plus your deep mains to get to your main collection. It adds to the cost. So in a community like this with Paradise and the terrain, the low pressure pump system is the better fit. So please look at that information we have in the report. Give us comments again. We'd be happy to clarify more. So collection system costs. This cost here is a cost that's on all the options. You have to have a collection system for your district. Same for all alternatives. And then we considered a lot of other treatment processes, technology. There's an awful lot of things that are out there that are being used in communities, small communities, and different areas. Many, many of these require a lot of land. And that's one of the disadvantages we have here in Paradise, is that we don't have what we consider suitable property for these type of systems that require a lot of land, ponds, and other type of treatments that require a lot of property for water storage and disposal. So that's the complexity with the area like Paradise. But we did look at them, we have them in the report. So the project options evaluated. First one, A, is a localized water treatment plant with effluent land application. Okay, so that alternative is where you have a plant, a localized plant, water treatment plant, and now you have to have a lot of acres to apply your disposal of your water, of your treated water. That takes a lot of property to do. Second one is a localized water treatment plant with a surface water discharge. So that's, again, a localized plant, and you're discharging into a stream, a body of water. That takes a much higher level of treatment and meeting your regulations with your board before you can discharge into a live stream. That's that option. That's option B. C was the regional connection. That's the pipeline to Chico. And then they have the water pollution control plant at Chico. So that's C. D is a wastewater treatment plant, local, with beneficial reuse. Very similar to, it would be more like an A. It's still your local plant, but you have beneficial reuse. And the issue there, again, as I mentioned before, is normally you need to have a receiving area, large parks, fields, something to make that reuse affordable. not only do you have to have a treatment plant collection and everything else, but to have a beneficial reuse, then you have to have another system to get your water to that user, to that end user. That adds a lot of cost, and again, you have to have those, that terrain that lends itself to that. So there's complexities with that option, but we did look at it, and it's in the report. And then again, the no project. And the no project, again, that's why we spent so much time early on explaining what that means, what the consequences of the community are, what the impacts to your business community would be, and basically dealing with the situation we have now. So that's the no project. Then we went into evaluation criteria, cost. We did go through a 20-year net present value analysis, and then we looked into future costs spread out over years. So take a look at the information in the report. There's an awful lot on the evaluation criteria, the weighing of the criteria, and how we made the comparison between alternatives. Please give us your comments. Environmental impact, secondary benefit use was one of the criteria. Interagency agreements, how complex these alternatives would be in the sense of requiring interagency agreement and other agreements and decisions to come to fruition. And then we also evaluated public impact. These were things like odor, aesthetics, right-of-way impacts, those type of things that affect a local community. Operational impacts and issues, having your own plant versus a pipeline, what are the differences within the alternatives, so the operational issues. Impact right-of-way. Purchase of property, impact of private right-of-way. That was another item we evaluated. And then we summarized our evaluation criteria, and we weighed those items. So that's in the report. We went through a couple of meetings with our PSG back and forth on determining the evaluation criteria, but also the factors and the weighting factors. Then we have a table that presents the cost, the net present cost for each of the options. Okay. Option A is the top, the blue. D and B in the middle of the chart, pretty much run closely together. And C, which is the pipeline that should go down below. I don't know if you can see that very well, but it starts at the 20-year. We'd look at a 40-year, 60-year, and 80-year. And the reason we did that is because some of these alternatives, some of these options, you really need to look at that and consider the longer term more than a 20, 40-year. I think it's important to do that. I know sometimes you say, why? Why do we want to look at that? Well, I think it's important to have that future analysis and vision, just to at least consider it, to think about it, because it is important. It will be important if you decide to go down with some of these systems. So again, the criteria were cost, environmental impact, secondary benefit options, interagency agreements, public impacts, operational issues, and right of way. Okay. Options, regional, Chico regional, local plant reuse, local plant and surface discharge. Then we present the scoring outcome. Option C, so that here on the scoring, the higher the score, the better the alternative, okay? So option C, scored at 67. Option B, the local plant with surface discharge at 57. Option A, 48. And option D, local plant with beneficial use at 50.5. So please Give us your comments on the scoring. Give us your comments on the rating. It's important that we have that this discussion at this point. We'll have more information and be able to run through some of the decisions, some of the factors that went in on the 22nd, if you're interested in more information. Project cost table. Okay, so this is the project cost for alternative C, which is the pipeline to Chico. Okay, $83.4 million. Then we got the funding parameters, which is really a breakdown of what we're going to need to go after once we make a decision that we have what we feel is a project that we can proceed with and your council gives us direction, and that's really pursuing the grant funding and the funding plan, the financing plan for a project of this size. Grants, private loans for connections, SRF loans, and then the property tax assessments. These are all vehicles, mechanisms for funding that we'll have to work through and develop a feasible plan for a community like Paradise. So grants, current climate with wastewater. Again, most of the regions, most of the agencies are dealing with existing plants, and a lot of the financing with SRF, which Stacy's really, really up to date with, and we deal with a lot of cities and counties on, they're focused on upgrades to their plant, a certain part of their system. So they have a lot of limitations and requirements on their financing, their funding. Most of the time, they're capped, the SRF grants are capped at $8 million. And then you have loans that they also have programs for. A project like this, starting from ground zero, and the costs we're dealing with are going to take a lot more than that. And we know that. You're not, again, not trying to upgrade your system. You're building a system from ground zero. Many communities, when the Clean Water Act came out from the federal government, had their systems built in their 70s, 80s, and the federal government at that time had programs to fund up to 70% of their systems. Paradise has been self-sufficient and not needing that, and been maintaining your septic systems locally, and has done a great job. It's time now to consider whether a community system, a sewer system, is needed, and that's where at this point it's going to take some special funding and grants to get that done. It's very clear. So that's what we spend time on from here on the report, the loans, the assessments. Okay, so we have a lot of information on the SRF loans, property assessments, regional project costs and funding. We put together scenarios based on the limited $8 million funding, grant funding, just to demonstrate and to show the problem and situation we have. We know that, but we needed to make sure that was clear, because that's really what we're faced with, okay? We go through some scenarios on breakout of costs, and I think on these tables, you know, as I look at them and go over them, we need to do a better job here to clearly identify costs for individuals, whether it's a resident, or it's commercial properties, and then even eventually a structure for your commercial properties, the difference between commercial properties, different sizes, different uses. So please provide your input. I think it's an area we have to spend a little bit more time and a little bit more detail. Okay, we have private connection costs, service charges, your monthly service charges, and then tax assessments. I just want to make sure that we understand at this point of a draft report, we're not going to be going into a district, forming a district yet. We have some work to do. That's going to come later. But we need to provide the information, and we're going to continue to develop our rate structure. A lot of times when we get to this point, you need to know, well, what is our grant amount? I mean, we need to know how much grant money we're going to get in order to really do a good, complete breakdown of rates and develop a rate structure. Well, I think we're going to have to make some assumptions at this time and be able to do that, run through some scenarios so we know what we're tasked with, what is our challenge as far as grant amount to make it work. Okay, so the project funding picture. We realize that a project at the $80 million range and with the limited grant funding programs there are now, that's not feasible. We don't have a financing plan that's feasible with the current terms. That's our challenge, and that's what we're going to need to work with. If we, in this report, come to consensus that we need a project and your council decides that, yes, let's pursue an option and let's start looking for that money. Let's get the funding commitments, the grant money, and then we'll come back with a more definite funding structure, rate structure, and then a decision of whether we move forward with the district or not. You know, my gut feeling right now, and I've been doing projects and large projects like this for the last 30 years or more, it's really a good time, a good opportunity for a community like this, if we reach that agreement and consensus that we want to pursue it and pursue this funding for infrastructure. I don't know that I've ever felt that in the last 10, 15 years, but there is, I believe, an opportunity and the right time to really pursue it right now. There's a lot of talk about flood control funding and other things. I live in Yuba City. I don't know how many millions and billions have been spent on flood control. Town of Paradise, you've decided to live up a little higher. I think that's great. So not a whole lot of flood control money from the state, federal level has been spent up here, but we do need help with the sewer system. I don't think it's way out of the range to start having that discussion and to bring that forward. Anyway, I just feel it's been an awful lot of studies done in this community over the last few years. Hopefully this report, this background we're putting in here, this analysis will help us agree that we want to move forward and see if we can't compete for some money, some funding, grant funding for a water treatment system. So regional project funding, you know, we do have another option that we're looking at, and it's not an option, it's another scenario. When we looked at the various funding scenarios, and really it comes down to, well, how much grant money can we assume? And I want to make real clear that these are assumptions. And right now, with everything we've done, going back and forth, a lot of discussions, we're at a point in our report and we're recommending that we need this project, this community needs, in the range of $40 million in grant money to be close to being able to work out a feasible, affordable system for the community. Okay? So that's what we put in the report. That's what's in there. Please take a look at it. I think we're going to have to do a little bit more in the final report to spell out what that means to individuals, what that means to our commercial properties owners versus residential within the district. So we'll be getting into a little bit more of that as we get your comments, your council's direction, and work toward the final report. One of the things that I also wanted to share as far as our recommendation, we're recommending that we consider option C, which is a regional pipeline, first. And close behind that is your local plant. Option B, which is a local plant with discharge to a surface body of water. That's option B. When I first looked at and was looking at a pipeline to Chico, I was thinking, that's a long pipeline. That's a long ways. So in my mind, I said, how can that be? How can that be affordable? Well, as we look at all the costs, you can see all the options are high costs. And again, we didn't want to make a lot of assumptions on how we can reduce costs for one of the options or not. I mean, there's a lot of that that's going to go on once we get into the next design phase, and we're going to look at ways to reduce costs and use different methods, different things that I think could help reduce some of the costs, but we don't want to make those assumptions yet. We want to make sure that we're not assuming that we're going to be able to lower costs, that we don't have that resolved yet. So most of these costs, $80 million, they're all in that range, 80, 70, 60, it's millions of dollars, a lot of money. But option C, when you look at it, the advantage you have, which is the pipeline, first of all, is your elevation, right? What are you, 1,500 feet above Chico? So right off the bat, 1,017, yeah. So right off the bat, you're going downhill. Okay, a pipeline with water going downhill, that's good. That's huge. Because if you start thinking about what you would have to do as far as costs, if you were in the valley, and it's been done. I know Orrin, with the experience, there's a lot of large pipelines, long pipelines, but in the valley, you're paying for pumping, a lot of pumping to keep that water going. Well, you don't have that problem here. Matter of fact, I think you're going to have some energy to work with this water going downhill. We'll get into that later, but that's an advantage. Other advantage is that the Chico plant is a plant that's up to date. They're always working on meeting new regs and upgrades, but it's a plant that's right now available and ready. They have capacity. Obviously, there has to be a regional agreement. There's got a lot of things to be discussed, but the Chico plant is ready to accept the amount of wastewater that we're talking about here. Chico is what's the population? 95,000, 100,000? Okay. All of Paradise is 26,500. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a business community, central business core. It's a fraction, maybe in the 10% of what Chico deals with. It's there and available. The other thing that I'll just share with you, when you talk about regional and federal, state and federal policy, there's an awful lot of policy that's come out in direction of encouraging communities to go to regional operations and regionalize their operations, whether it's water or wastewater. And that's been happening in the valley, and especially a lot of the foothill country, which Orrin and our staff have been working with over the years, because it's hard to keep your plants, local plants, in a small areas feasible and operating. New requirements, new regulations come constantly. And within a five-year period, you're required to relicense, re-permit your operation. You always have new requirements, new regulations, and it's very costly. So a lot of those smaller communities have had to start regionalizing, and it's really, I believe, opens up a whole another opportunity for support and funding of a project like this. So all those things go into consideration to bring us to where we are right now in our draft. And I know there's preferences on local plant and other comments on the pipeline. Please provide your input. I just want you to know that's where we are right now, and that's why we've gone through and made the recommendation at this point with option C, with B closely behind. Option C is going to take not only funding, all of them are going to have to require that funding question and grant money, but C also will take a regional agreement, an agreement with Chico before we can move forward. Okay, so we go through a lot of costs, and then we go through our recommendation. So our report recommendation, we recommend option a regional connection to Chico. The impact, the rate impact is too high with the current grant structure that we're familiar with the $8 million limit. That's not going to work for us. We have to secure additional funding, state, federal funding, in the amount, scale, range of about $40 million or more. I see somebody added the or more in there. I hadn't seen that in there before. Proceed with the City of Chico coordination effort and advanced recommendation. So those are the things in our recommendation as it stands. If the community if we reach consensus and our recommendation and your council makes a decision, that's what it would take. It would be, take pursuing the funding and then the regional agreement before an option C could go further into a district formation or anything like that. Okay? Little flow chart that shows the decision-making, memorandum of understanding with Chico, funding, pursuing additional funding grant, just a little schematic of the decisions and things that need to happen in order to get down to a project, okay, and to implementing a project. And it's both option C up on top, if everything is a yes, and you end up with the C, and then if you have a, you know, if we can't reach that consensus and a regional agreement, which I'm, nobody's saying is easy. We've been through a few. I say we. Our principal Arne has been through a few regional agreements. That's not nothing that's automatic or easy. It takes a lot of work, but it's doable. It's very much doable. And but if there was an issue where that couldn't be reached, then we'd come back and we'd consider the other alternatives, where it's B, which is the local plant. Okay, schedule. We have a public workshop again, scheduled for the 22nd from 4 to 7 p.m. at your town hall. Please come join us. We'll have snacks and drinks there, I think, right? We can do that. And we'll get into more specifics, questions, specific properties. We'll have our technical team there. So please come join us. Provide us your comments and questions. Bring them there. You can provide your comments there. We'll have comment cards. Again, the comment period is through March 31st. Please don't wait till the 31st. Do it now. Take a look at the report and provide your comments. Come to the 22nd if you'd like. The final report to the council for consideration. We're gonna address your comments and whatever it takes to get that done and addressed and in the report, we're going to do. And then we're shooting for May to go to council for consideration of the next step, the next direction, okay? And it could be a final report with a recommendation to pursue and a selection of an option or whatever other direction staff and council is ready to make at that time. So we need your comments. We need to address those and make the adjustments in the report. We want this to be a complete report once we finish, so that we can use it not only here in this community, but it's going to go out to pursue funding. It's going to be looked at from a lot of regional agencies, other folks. So we want it to be complete and accurate as possible. Public review comments, again, writing by the 21st, comment cards, website, email. Okay. Is there anything I missed or left out so far? All right. Okay, so that's our report. Please make sure you reference the table of contents so you can find where you are, what you want to look for. There's an awful lot of stuff in there. Sometimes, I know, it feels like we do an overkill on our reports, but again, this is not just a technical engineering memo. It's a complete report of a new system, a whole new sewer system from top to bottom. So hopefully we're getting there. It's a draft. We got some sections, some things I think we do need some work on. The rate structure I don't think is clear enough. I look at it and I still have questions. I think we need to do a little bit more breakout on there so it's clear. You know, where's the residence? Where's the commercial? Usually we end up with a about four or five categories in commercial type businesses. We'll take a look at that. There's examples in other communities we can bring. I think we need to do a little bit more there, just so that you can have a better picture of where we're going once we have a project. But every time I start talking about that with our technical team, because I put myself in a property owner's standpoint, I own property. I'm also part owner in a business. You want to know specifically, and they say, well, you can't do that unless we know how much grant money we have, right? The chicken and the egg thing. I say, well, you know, let's make some assumptions. Let's make it clear. And again, when we do that, we're not promising anything. But I think we need to make some assumptions so we can, as a community, decide, yes, that's what it's going to take. That we think is doable. That we think is feasible or a viable financing, something that the community, the residents, the business owners can afford. Then at least I think we will have a clear direction and charge of what our challenge is on the funding side. So I think that's the next step. So let us know how much more you want in this draft report. We'll try to do the best we can to get there. So want to allow a few minutes for questions, answers. We'll try and answer general questions, and then we really want your questions in writing is again a reminder. Stacy's got something she wants to add.
I just wanted to add, can y'all hear me? Everybody? Okay. I just wanted to add a little bit more about the funding stuff that he's been talking about. We put the $8 million grant in here in the report, and he talked about it quite a bit in the presentation. That is a grant monies that we are pretty certain we can obtain at this point. There's a lot of other avenues for grant money that we are hoping to get, and that's kind of where we skipped all the way from the $8 million to the $40 million. We think the $40 million is an affordable grant amount that the residents and business owners can afford. With that said, we think it's important to include the $8 million as kind of what we know that we can get in the report, because we need to give this report to funding agencies to help to show that it's unaffordable for the residents and business owners at the $8 million amount. We need to have the rates, with lots of assumptions, but have the rates kind of calculated and show them what they're going to be if we only have the $8 million. And I think that's pretty important. And, I know we show it in here and we say, this is what your rate would be, but, we're not going to vote on that amount. It's just so that you guys can see, but also the rest of the community and federal government and state funding people who are going to be looking at this to give us grant money. And I think that's important to identify here.
Okay. Any questions? We got one. Yeah, I think I heard your question. Please let me, I'll try and repeat it. I think you said, what about the time factor?
Yeah, would it take longer to do C compared to B?
Okay, so the question is, I think it's implementation and getting a system going, right? Okay, so as I mentioned in the alternative C, all these are major projects. And you got collection, you got, it's a major construction project. But option C, the benefits as far as timing are, number one, you have a plant in Chico that's operating and permitted. That's huge. Number two, they have capacity and are able to start operations. Now, from a technical standpoint, please don't let me misstate that anybody in Chico has agreed that the pipeline can start now. From a technical standpoint, from our coordination with the Chico technical staff, I mean, the plant is there operating and ready and has the available capacity right now. Obviously, the plant is planned for future development and growth in Chico, so we have to come to agreement and use that, but that's ready to go. From that standpoint, an alternative C, the pipeline, in our opinion, technically, would happen in a more definite timeline and faster. Getting a permit for a local plant, I'm just going to tell you, the timeline is really, in my opinion, I mean, these guys will tell me so many years, to me, I'll be honest with you, it's unknown. You're having a new plant in a place called Paradise, and you're going to put water in your streams, okay? The permitting process and the requirements will be substantial. And that's okay. If that's what we get to, and that's the only option, then we'll start pursuing that, and we'll be dealing with regulatory agencies and figure out what best to do, how to do it. Okay, but I believe that adds years to getting underway. That's just what I've seen, just on repermitting existing plants. So we'll be investigating that with the regulatory agencies. So, and there is an environmental document you have to do for the pipeline. You're going to have a pipeline going through, going down the hill, and then through the Chico area. So there's impacts and environmental document you have to do for that. It's more of a known or you know it's a I believe a more definite time schedule to get that done. It's more of an engineering challenge than anything else. Yes, sir. So I think what you're saying is that, remember, and it's a good point, and let me see, I may miss your point, but if we decide that a pipeline is what we want to do, you still have a sewer treatment plant to operate, maintain the whole thing. So don't get me wrong. Remember the complete project? There's no shortcuts. Option C, you have collection, you have conveyance, and you have a treatment plant. So the plant has a life cycle, lifetime, so you have to maintain and operate it. The other part of your question is the plant has capacity right now. Again, we're dealing with about 10%. They're underutilized right now in their plant. But their plant is they've built and financed for their development, their town. So we'll have to go through those discussions, agreements. It has capacity to upgrade, to increase its capacity. It has a new part of the plant, which is what they're using now, and they're underutilizing that part. It's been upgraded, the new part of the plant. They have a whole separate part that is an old part of their plant that's not being used that could be upgraded. And that's for additional capacity on top of what they have now. So it's in a good location, good situation to upgrade, to increase capacity, if that's kind of what you were getting at. Yeah, and just one more thing. And their discharge is to the Sacramento River, right? The Chico plant to Sacramento River, which is a much larger body of water, which the regulatory agencies, the water boards are dealing with up and down the valley. So it's a more known permitting and requirements issue. The plant is gonna be in operation in the city of Chico. Even if you have problems, the board, the feds, they'll be worked out. You'll have to have a plant. Chico's gonna have a plant in operation. So I don't know if I'm getting to what you're talking about, but yeah.
Okay. The second half of that question is with the $40 million that we would have to get in grants to make the program feasible, what's the timeline? If we approve going forward with the project, do we wait to do anything until we see that we can achieve the $40 million in grants?
Okay. So if our recommendation right now is C, and we'll get comments and the council will make a decision, if they give us a direction, I would think that we could still move forward on a couple of different fronts. One is the funding. I think the sooner we start moving on funding for a sewer system, whether it's the $83 million for C or the $73 million for B or whatever that happens to be, you're still talking about many millions of dollars. I think the opportunity right now is good to get in that discussion for infrastructure, and I'd suggest that we move forward on the funding side, and also on if it turns out that we want to pursue C, we move into a discussion with Chico, and that also take on. So those two things, and I think we should move forward on some additional engineering studies, because when you get to the financing, the funding, folks, I've been there. You eventually, once you get down from the top management, you get down to the engineer level, the technical, and they're saying, well, show me your costs, your technical costs, and we need to have a better breakdown because they're going to want to see that information. We have a lot of good information, but it's at a feasibility level. So those three things, I think we need to keep making progress on some of the technical sites. We're ready, and we have a more complete package. I mean, I'm amazed when Stacy had to submit a funding application at how much is required. They really want pretty much a final design just about on the project. So we have to be ready for that. So those three things, discussion for any regional agreements, pursuing the funding, and then continue to develop the technical side of a project.
Will that $8 million that you think you might be able to get
Correct. So the financing, I believe if we have a regional support, we have state and federal support, we should pursue the financing for the next phase of work, which is the environmental document, the design. Okay? How much is that? You know, a project of this size, you could be into $4 or $5 million, you know, somewhere in that range. So yes, that would be great once we get to that point. And I think that would be a great way for the state to say, okay, let's make use. The state has already invested, was it $500,000 in this planning study? They do have additional planning study phases that they allocate to communities for planning through the environmental document. Again, this is not your normal, what I call a normal project. This is the whole thing, huge project. But yes, I think that's a logical thing to pursue and to request is financing for that next phase so we can develop the details we need, the environmental document. If the community really gets behind and says, we're serious, we got to get this done, absolutely. We need to go. We need to keep going. So that's something that we could talk about.
Trent, we have a question here.
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't see toward the back, so let me know.
That's okay. Under the funding, you have grants, loans, tax assessments, and SRF loans. Is that, what is SRF? And that seemed to be a pretty big chunk. Is that a for sure thing?
Yeah, let Stacy answer the SRF. And it's probably more just a placeholder for grants. When it gets over $8 million is kind of their gap, yep, their cap on SRF funding for projects, the state revolving fund. But I think in the large, we just use it as a placeholder, I think SRF and grants. And who knows where those grants are going to come from, whether it's SRF or other mechanisms. So SRF, what is SRF?
So the SRF stands for the State Revolving Fund. The State Water Resources Control Board, Division of Financial Assistance, gives out, they have numerous pots of money for different things. Under their wastewater pot of money, they are giving out money currently under their State Revolving Fund, which has this cap of $8 million per agency for a wastewater project. Does that answer your question?
It seemed like the funding that you put up there, you had the $8 million under grants and then SRF loans as a separate percentage.
I misunderstood your question. They offer, you can get a large loan, a low interest loan, and they will provide what they sometimes call principal forgiveness up to $8 million of that low interest loan. So we could get a loan for, you know, $80 million, and they would provide a grant for $8 million of it.
So they offer both, a combination of grant and loan. And the grant, the program we're familiar with right now is $8 million cap, but they offer loans, low-interest loans to communities. And those loans are paid back through either in your rate structure, your monthly rates, or other mechanism.
Trent?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jim Richards. I'm here basically on behalf of the Tuscan Ridge development, and we've had some discussions. There is a new joint venture for Tuscan Ridge, which will greatly expand the scope of the project. We're adding about 1,000 acres to the existing 200-acre golf course that will expand the golf course and increase the development to be done there. None of that has been discussed with you, and we think it's pertinent that you be aware of it and look at it in terms of maybe an interim stage in the development of the final project. But we would appreciate the opportunity to discuss that with you and have it considered in your plans.
Thank you. It's noted, and please provide that comment. Yep, very good.
Trent.
And the other thing that reminded me, not necessarily on that issue, but regional agreement, we're talking, you know, we tend to focus on Chico, but remember, it's Butte County that we all live in, and a Butte County that we have to go through. Butte County will definitely be part of that regional discussion and agreement and moving forward. So I didn't want to leave that out. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate the per residence fee that is in the feasibility study and things like the median household income in Paradise. You know, doing some rough math and, you know, using the $8 million grant funding, you know, would be something like 5 to 7% of our median household income for residences, which is insane from a cost feasibility standpoint. I'm interested about the way the district proposed district lines were drawn. As a residence owner within the proposed district, it seems like a lot of the residences were sucked into the proposed district to help offset the entire system to what is often referred to in the study as, you know, the business corridor on Skyway and Clark. Will there be any discussion in the final report about the feasibility if the residents who, like myself, have no need for a sewer system, are perfectly fine in their septic systems, were cut out of the proposed district?
Okay, so first of all, we are taking comments on the district, and the district boundary has been set for this stage, the feasibility study, but that district formation and that vote will happen in the future, so there will continue to be reviews and looked at that district and the boundaries. So any comments on that is obviously good and welcome. And let me see if I get to your question, but I believe that in our rate structure, when we develop a rate structure for it to be feasible, and again, it depends on the grant amount of money, but there has to be a structure that's fair and affordable to the residents, to the single family residents. And I believe we'll have to work through that. And we'll have to provide that information and structure at some level before we go to a district vote. Let me go back, because I'm not sure if I got your exact question, but residents included?
Well, I think you kind of mentioned that the district lines, or at least in the feasibility study itself that you're preparing, that you're not going to entertain any alternative district lines. What's been proposed right now is what you're assessing the feasibility of.
Correct, for the feasibility study. Correct. We're not near going to a vote of those residents in that district yet. So there'll be some discussion, and obviously the council will be addressing, and we'll have to be reviewing that when we get to that point.
I think, and you mentioned it earlier in your presentation about adding some more specificity to the what it means at an individual level.
Yes, the rate structure.
Right.
Correct.
Because,
yes.
You know, $4,000 a year for 20 years.
That's the question and comment I get the most.
Yeah.
And
I can't imagine why.
Yes.
It's a lot of money.
Exactly. And I think we should do that. And we just have to be clear on the assumptions that those are based on.
So what would be helpful if we're going to assume, you know, go back to the assumptions, if we're going to assume $40 million in grant funding, or as, you know, the slide said, or more, you know, what does that look like on an individual level?
Correct.
Like, what does that mean to my family?
Correct.
For the next 20 years?
Yep. And there's a lot to that structure. I mean, the distribution between commercial businesses versus residential. I mean, that's the decision that your community, your council will need to make to make it equitable, to make it fair.
Right.
For those.
And so
yes.
if between
Absolutely.
Now and your final draft, to me as a person who got drawn inside the lines, knowing the costs that I'm about to or could potentially incur if this thing happens, that means everything. So if you could focus
Understood.
As much effort on that as possible, that's really critical information to people like my family.
Understood. I think having those scenarios, the $40 million grant scenario, and maybe a few others, different distribution of burden and cost, I think it's something we'll have to discuss with staff, and I think it's something we'll see if we can do in the final report. I think you're right on as far as providing that information for not only residents, but the business owners too. Not only the single family, but business owners and the different type of commercial businesses. Okay, I'll take a couple more. Right here.
My question has to do again with this $40 million benchmark or more that you put in the report as an objective in terms of getting grants. I think I start from the standpoint of if this is a much greater cost to this project for option C than we ever when it's ever talked about or publicly discussed before, $68 million. And I realize that $40 million in grants is a huge mountain to climb. But at the same time, it would seem to me, and this certainly would be a council decision when they discuss this, it would seem to me that the objective should be much more than $40 million in terms of trying to seek other kind of funding to reduce the burden on the businesses and property owners within this assessment district to almost a bare minimum of impact. I think that's going to be the biggest rub in terms of this whole thing, besides the fact that in the study you don't know right now, if you go with option C in the city of Chico, you have no idea really at this particular point, except looking at their rate, particular rates for high users, exactly what they're going to demand of the town of Paradise in terms of an agreement. And from a financial standpoint.
Correct.
So those are my 2 points.
Yeah. So so please provide those comments on what you feel is needed and what is a viable, affordable rate structure. Absolutely. And the further discussion with Chico to resolve those questions are absolutely needed. Yep. A lot of work to do, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is the type of project why I went into what I do. It's almost like a impossible mission at times, but I like it. I want to see if we can do something for the community if we're ready. Okay, another one more down there.
Yes, and then, my question is kind of based on the slide that you had that showed the residential at $34,000. Was that based on the $40 million or was that based on the $80 million?
I'd have to look and see. Do you know, Stacy?
I think the chart showed the residential costs and also the other costs to the businesses.
I think those were on the eight.
That one right there. That's it. Is that on the $80,000 or is that on the $40,000 per residential?
This one here is based on the 40. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
The 80 would be even twice that. It would be in the 70.
I'd have to.
If that was based on the $80 million, then we're looking more like $70,000 per residential.
Yeah, go to the other one. Yeah, and this one here.
Yeah, which is.
You know. Okay. So this is based on the $40 million grant, and that's the thing here. I believe this chart needs some work. Obviously, we should state the grant amount and then break it out a little easier so that we have a clear residential cost, commercial cost. So
thank you very much.
Yep.
Let me say first of all, thank you for all the work that you put in making this study. It's a very good report that you presented. I have a question and then a comment in regards to another questionnaire I made. Some concerns. First of all, from beginning to end, once it has been decided to go forward with this option C, to when you actually begin installing the system, what's the timeline? That was one thing that was not addressed. In regards to the sewers that it's going to cost for individual cities, I've had to have sewers installed in the cities of Modesto and Riverbank, and I had purchased a property that had about 10,000 square feet of a home, three-bedroom home. The bank would not put a loan on that until I paid $8,000 for a sewer system because they had a septic tank. When the city of Riverbank was putting in a sewer line in one of the streets, it cost far less to have it installed when they're running the line than later. It was actually tripled or quadrupled. And so it was more advantageous for us to go ahead and do it right then. Also, out of the city of Tehama, when they were putting in their natural gas line and also their flood raising the homes in the city of Tehama, which is in Tehama County, they gave special funding to the residents who were of low income or special needs. They got special grant money to help them do what needed to be done to raise their homes and do other things necessary to satisfy what the Corps of Engineers were recommending the city council members to do. So I think right now at this early stage, there is funding out there that we are not aware of to help citizens who would be struggling with this cost to help take care of some of those issues that I know maybe you've not even gotten that far yet because you're just doing the feasibility study of causing this to come to fruition. So there's a lot more out there than we're not been presented. But anyway, what was the timeline? Thank you.
I agree with that last part. There's an awful lot of stones to turn and to go after, and a lot of work to do. And we want to get there as soon as possible, but we do want to address your comments and allow for city council direction to get there. You had an awful lot of information there. I think your timeline for a project to get a project done and underway, constructed.
Actually breaking ground.
Oh, start construction. That timeline, let's see here. If we had the funding, an environmental document plus final design, I'm looking at 2 to 3 years, and then start construction, going through your permitting. It depends on the option. As I mentioned before, the permitting for a local plant is extensive. That's an unknown. So that may add time. So I'm not sure if I'm getting to it. This is not an overnight project. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take a little while.
Not an overnight job. It took 20 years.
Yes. Correct. So, you know, I think if the financing is there, the funding is there, that's the key of how much we can do and how fast we can go and get it done. That's obviously the key. Many projects like this take years to come to fruition, to complete. That's reality. We'll have to face that when we get there. How much grant money is available? Do we say no to that? How do we stage? How do we proceed? We'll get there, and depending on what's put in front of us. So right now it's feasibility coming to decision on are we ready? Do we feel we need to spend the effort and time to pursue this project and the financing? So
okay. I've got a question here.
Maybe one more, huh?
Hi, my name's Sylvia Thompson. I heard you mention the Clean Water Act. And this morning I watched President Trump sign an executive order rescinding the Clean Water Act, and he said that it was going to take a lot of problems away from projects like this. Can you just kind of enlighten us a little bit? Is that the same Clean Water Act?
You know, I think I heard a little bit of that on the radio coming up. I think he's talking about certain Clean Water Act, other regulations that were put in place. I think that's what he was talking about, not so much the Clean Water Act. It's the implementation, some of the regulatory things that were put in place, additional hurdles for business, and I think that's what they're looking at. I think that's what I heard him reference on there, but I'm not familiar with it. But the Clean Water Act, I don't think is going anywhere. I don't know. I don't think so. Yes, and that's what we've been dealing with. That Dave just reminded me, over this last year or two, we've been dealing with the additional interpretation of the clean waters of the U.S. on projects, whether it's roadside ditches, those type of things that we deal with in the environmental documents. And I think that's what he's talking about, trying to roll some of that back. Yeah.
He said he took it away.